The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thank you. It sounds like a lot of energy going on in the studio today.
Yes.
It's less than 2 weeks until our next election. Did anybody notice that? Of course not. We haven't even spoken about it. The latest coming out of the election news is the fact that they're considering setting up special election locations, election booths for people with coronavirus.
Wow. That becomes quite the story then, doesn't it?
That becomes the story. I mean, we understand that those Israelis caught on that ship in Yokohama will be coming home this week. The word has gone out that a number of insurance companies obviously involved in insuring those individuals have clubbed together, and they're going to bring them home. Some sort of a flight has been arranged for them to come home. So I guess they're going to have the right to vote as well if they get interested between now and 2 weeks' time.
Amazing. Really, really incredible how this is going to affect and is affecting absolutely everything. All right. Israel's been accused of carrying out further attacks against Damascus Airport late last week. What do we know about this?
Well, a number of interesting things. First of all, there have actually been satellite images that have been produced that show that quite significant damage was done to the Syrian, to the Damascus International Airport area, late on Thursday evening. And these satellite images show that, buildings that were destroyed, which, according to the reports that I've seen, have speculated that these buildings were apparently used to store weapons flown into Syria from Iran. There was apparently also a hangar that was significantly damaged. And we understand that there, again, is speculation that that shelter was probably used for storing ammunition or missiles. It was the Al Arabiya news channel that actually reported this attack, which took place approximately 10:45 on Thursday evening. Five missiles fired towards the Damascus International Airport area, obviously hitting their targets. We understand that people were actually killed. Seven people were killed in this particular attack. The kind of amusing side, because this is not amusing. I mean, people are killed, damage is being done. This is kind of, you know, part of an ongoing war that Israel is having to conduct. And obviously the fact that Israel saw fit to carry out this attack means that there must have been strong intelligence to talk about or telling about weapons, missiles, ammunition that's being shipped either to Hezbollah, which will present a significant threat to Israel's security along the Lebanese border, or alternatively being shipped to that southern Syria area, which could potentially also present a significant threat to Israel's safety along that area. And so Israel constantly is keeping track of what's going on, especially with these missile shipments that come from Iran towards Syria and then from Syria moving on towards Lebanon in large numbers, not only, but obviously being used in Syria as well. And there have been numerous attacks carried out. This is just the latest one. I've read somewhere else that the attacks were actually carried out from Israeli airspace towards Damascus International Airport because of the fact that there were some Russian aircraft, in the air at that particular time. And therefore, the Israelis decided that it was best to carry out this attack from Israeli airspace rather than encroaching into Syrian airspace. The most amusing comment that I saw was when Prime Minister Netanyahu was asked after the event about this particular attack, and he said, obviously tongue in cheek, I heard that the Belgian Air Force has been in operation around this area recently. That was his response, which I took to mean, yes, it was us.
Right. Amazing. Very, very, very interesting indeed. The IDF has reorganized itself to establish a new Iran command unit. What does this involve?
Well, the Chief of General Staff, Aviv Kochavi, has presented a multi-year momentum plan. And this was a big moment in the IDF where he's presented this new plan. And the new plan involves quite a lot of changes within the IDF, not all of which will be visible to people from the outside, but it involves, as he said, giving Israel considerable military advantage over its foes and using technological means for Israeli air forces just to be able to carry out attacks against enemy targets, increasing the military's intelligence superiority, expanding intelligence gathering on Arab countries and enemy countries, and of course using satellites, improving cyber capabilities, being defensive and offensive in both directions. But also on the ground, there are going to be quite a number of changes, including, for example, scrapping one tank command unit and replacing it with more mobile infantry units on the ground. So there are quite a lot of changes on the ground for those people who are involved in the, you know, work with the IDF on a day-to-day basis. Those will become more obvious. There's also going to be an additional Israeli Air Force squadron being established over the coming period in the next year or so. And in not only closing that tank battalion, but he's also installing new weaponry on some of the tanks, and some of the older tanks will be replaced. The old Merkava MK3 tanks will be replaced with Merkava MK4 tanks. So quite a lot of work within the operational capability. But for me, the most interesting thing was the establishment of this new Iran command. Never before has the IDF had a command, a unit that is dedicated to only looking after one particular threat. And I think that this says so much about the strength of this threat, about the importance, about the how strong the threat from Iran really is, that there's a new unit that's being established under the command of a major general, and it's going to be dedicated to analyzing the threats posed by Iran and planning Israel's military campaign against Iran in the event that such a thing is needed. And I think that this is a significant moment in the development of the IDF. This is a huge change, a completely different focus, whereas until now, you know, the IDF has been very much spread out, saying we organize ourselves according to operational capabilities. So, you know, we have infantry, we have tank commands, we have the Air Force, we have the Navy, we have certain operational capabilities, cybersecurity, intelligence, whatever it is. And now we've suddenly got this one command which will incorporate all of those, but it will be focused purely against Iran. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But I think that this really speaks in spades about how significant that threat from Iran really is.
What, do you think the threat is worse now than it has been, or has Israel just made this strategic decision?
Well, I think that the threat has been increasing over time. And I think that actions like, you know, the elimination of Soleimani, while it had obviously a significance and significant importance, and, you know, Israel would certainly have supported that particular action that was carried out by the United States. But I think that there is a certain reaction that one can expect. And over the last few years, I think Iran has absorbed quite a lot of attacks. You know, some of them visible, some of them not so visible, against its nuclear facilities, against its military capabilities. I think that the sanctions that the U.S. government has imposed upon Iran has created this pent-up frustration within Iran that probably means that some attack is anticipated, some response, some reaction to all of these actions that have been going on from within the international community is anticipated from Iran. So in that sense, I do have the feeling that the threat is probably stronger, more significant than it has been in previous years. But there is no doubt that there is much greater focus on it. So the question is, is that what has given rise to the establishment of this new Iran command? I'm not sure. I think it's a combination of the increase in the threat together with the increased focus that we have on Iran, and maybe some freedom that the IDF has managed to generate within itself by not having to deal with the Egyptian border, not having to deal with the Jordanian border. Some of those frees up other resources to be able to do different things. So I think that slowly and over time, as we've established ourselves and got rid of some of the other threats that we've had to engage with, as a new nation over the past 70 odd years, I think it also frees up resources to do different things. And of course, Iran is a very significant and different threat because it's not along the Israel's borders. So whatever Israel has to conduct against Iran, all has to be done kind of by remote control from a distance. And of course, that makes things different, more difficult, and requires a lot more focus. So an interesting new development, I think, on the IDF front.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, this story as well, I find, and certainly I've been following it quite closely, a judge in the case against Rabbi Berland will have his conduct reviewed after he was accused of inappropriate comments. What were the comments that the judge made?
Well, I think a lot of us know about some of the things that have been directed towards Rabbi Eliezer Berland. People in South Africa, some people know him pretty intimately. He did create a big stir when he and his followers were based in South Africa. He has since returned to Israel. He's had to face numerous charges of all kinds of misconduct. He has been accused of sexual harassment. He's been accused of giving inappropriate advice to patients who are unwell. He has been accused of taking financial means by taking money from people in order to undertake certain activities that were really never on the cards and never really being undertaken. One of the strange things that Rabbi Berland, one of the strange charges that he had to face, is a charge of having given Mentos to some of his followers who were terminally ill, and he gave them Mentos as a medication. Yeah. Now, this was really the cause of Judge Sharon Bavli, who made the comment when Rabbi Berland's counsel said he wasn't feeling particularly well because he'd had to undergo catheterization in the day before he appeared in court. The judge turned around to his counsel and said, "Well, why don't you give him a Mentos?"
I think that's quite funny, actually.
Referring, of course, to the fact that Rabbi Berland has been accused of giving Mentos as medication to many of his followers, and many times in exchange for money. The irony, of course, is that Rabbi Berland has never denied the fact that he gave Mentos as medication. And his counsel has come out saying, well, it doesn't matter whether he gave Mentos or Tic Tacs or anything else. The fact is that these sweets that he's effectively prescribing as some sort of a medication have come with blessings. And it's really in the blessing that the people get the cure rather than in the Mentos itself. Unfortunately, we've known of some of his followers to have died as a result of not getting the correct medical treatment. Cancer sufferers who he advised
and of course the allegation, which we can't ignore, is the fact that a lot of money changed hands, that he would charge an enormous amount for these blessings, for these brochas, advise people to rather spend the money on that than on cancer treatment.
Right, and unfortunately, some of these cancer sufferers who were advised not to get chemotherapy and other treatments have died since he gave them these brochas and gave them this medical advice. So the judge has now been called into question by the Ombudsman for Judicial Complaints, who thought that his comment about the Mentos was inappropriate, and the judge will apparently have to undergo some sort of a review for that comment. But I think there were a lot of people like you, Howard, who kind of secretly liked the fact that he made this little comment.
It's funny.
It's a little bit of a comeback. I mean, you know, what else can one do in a situation like this, which is a very, very serious and extreme situation?
Absolutely right. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Rock, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place at 7:40.